Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, May 3rd. Today, Denver City Council is considering an overhaul of its recycling and waste programs, which may lead to residents being charged for their trash. Before we continue, a quick message from our friends and sponsors, Colorado Water Trust, a statewide nonprofit that restores flows to Colorado's rivers in need. They partner with water users, providing temporary and flexible transactions, pay fair market value for water, and ensure water rights are protected. Learn more about their Request for Water program at coloradowatertrust.org. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this date in 1987, a front-page story in the Miami Herald halted the presidential aspirations of Colorado U.S. Senator Gary Hart by exposing his extramarital affair. In the process, it changed the relationship between politics and journalism in the United States. Hart, a Kansas native, earned law degrees from several prestigious universities before coming to Colorado in the 1960s. A prominent member of the increasingly liberal Democratic Party in the state, Hart won election to the U.S. Senate in 1974 and secured a second term 6 years later. He posed a strong challenge to former Vice President Walter Mondale for the party's presidential nomination in 1984. 3 years later, Hart announced his candidacy at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Jefferson County. He had assumed that the press would overlook his infidelity, as it had for so many politicians over the years. Underestimating the media's post-Watergate zeal for toppling the mighty, Hart glibly challenged reporters to uncover a scandal, and that's just what they did. The Herald discovered his affair with a young Miami woman, capturing photographs of them taken on a yacht aptly named Monkey Business. The scandal that followed forced Hart to abandon his campaign and set the press on the low road to obsessive quests for political sex scandals. Afterward, Hart returned to Colorado to practice law. He remains active in political circles, writing and speaking about the need for a vibrant foreign policy. Now, our feature story. Denver City Council is considering an overhaul of its recycling and waste programs. Residents would be charged for their trash, but they would get recycling and compost picked up every week. Supporters heard concerns about the changes for the first time in a session in front of the City Council. Many residents are worried about loading on new fees when it's already getting more and more expensive to live in Denver. Journalism resident Margaret Fleming talks to reporter Michael Booth, who covers health, health policy, and the environment, about some of the opposition to the proposed program and where it goes from here.
Thank you for joining us. I'm your host for the week, Margaret Fleming. I'm here alongside Michael Booth, who's going to talk a little bit about Denver's new proposed recycling plans. Michael, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Margaret.
So just to get started, can you walk us through what the new program that some council members are suggesting is all about?
So Denver is going to be doing a major overhaul of its waste collection and recycling program. And they say they've been talking about it since 2010. The idea that other cities in Colorado and a lot of other progressive cities around the West have done especially is to start charging people by volume of their waste. Right now, if you live in Denver and you're in a single family home or a small apartment building up to 7 units, you get your garbage taken away as part of your taxes. It's just a city service, like the police or like the streets. And what the recycling fans have been saying for a long time is that you can't change people's behavior. We have terrible recycling rates in Colorado and in Denver, and you can't change people's behavior unless you start charging them for the volume of garbage. Give them an incentive to separate stuff out of the garbage and put it in the recycling and in the compost. So the basic plan is that your recycling bins will be free and weekly, which is a big improvement from the current every 2 weeks, which everybody says their stuff is overflowing, it's falling all over the streets, and they feel bad for throwing stuff away because their recycling bins are full. So every week recycling, but then you'll get a composting bin emptied every week as well. But then you're gonna have to pay for the garbage bin, and you'll pay depending on how big. So the maximum size is 95 gallons, and that will go for $21 a month for everybody who lives in a single family home. So that's the basic plan and kind of the revolution in thinking in Denver that everybody's starting to debate.
So these council members brought it before the rest of City Council this past week. How did that go?
It was our first chance to really get in front of a big chunk of the City Council and hear what headwinds they'll be facing when they try to vote on it in June. There's been a lot of meetings around the community to try to educate people and get people enthused about it and on board with it. But what they heard from council members was some of the questions that constituents are saying, like, wait a minute, this is a big change. I didn't used to have to pay separately for this. What's going on here? So they heard some very specific things. So let's just pick one of those to start. There's been some news recently that people in Northeast Denver who live in single family home communities have been kind of attacked by their own HOA for minor violations, and their liens have been put on their houses and they've been put into foreclosure by their HOA, very controversial. And one of the council members from that district said, look, it looks like you can put a lien on people's houses if they fail to pay for their recycling every month. And that's not going to go over well in my community. People are already scared about losing their homes. And now you're adding a new fee and the government's coming in to lean on with a new potential lien. So that's a big area that they're going to have to explain very carefully.
What were some of the headwinds about elderly and disabled populations?
One person brought up something that seems kind of obvious when you hear it, that, okay, you're going to have to figure out some ways to help people. If you've got these big bins, if people think that they need a big 95-gallon bin, which is kind of big to wrestle around when it's full, especially if you have some heavy stuff in the bottom or yard waste, then who is helping elderly folks, people living with disabilities, who are out there trying to wrangle a big garbage bin, a big full recycling bin, and a big heavy compost bin that's full of dirt and clippings and things like that? And there wasn't necessarily a clear answer yet on that, about maybe neighbors can help each other out. And that's always a good goal for a community, but that's not necessarily guaranteed.
So where does the plan go from here?
It will go to a couple more public meetings. There will be another event in front of the rest of the city council that didn't get to hear it the first time, and probably some more objections or at least some questions. And then they're planning to hold a vote at city council on actually passing the ordinance in early June. And if it passed, it would start going into effect in the fall. They are busy trying to line up all the supply chain issues they need to solve, things like getting all the bins for everybody who will now be getting composting bins, getting enough drivers you're increasing the frequency and increasing the number of drivers you need around the city. And it's very tough to hire commercial drivers of any kind right now. So they're going to have to line those up. So that's the current schedule.
I think that's all my questions I got for you. Thanks so much for joining, Michael.
Thanks. We'll see how it goes and we'll report back.
To read more, go to coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Vail Town Council is planning to condemn a parcel of land to protect a herd of bighorn sheep. That would block plans by Vail Resorts to use those roughly 23 acres to develop affordable housing for some of its workforce. As many as 30 homes for up to 165 workers were already approved by the previous town council. Vail Resorts had planned to protect the other 17 acres and spend $100,000 to protect those bighorn sheep that spend their winters on the land. Some see the council's move as an effort to keep minorities and poorer residents out of their communities, calling the land some of the most expensive sheep habitats in the world. Wild horses rounded up in Colorado have been dying rapidly in the past month. 3 foals were dead as of April 18th, but the toll is up to 119 dead horses on Monday. Neurological issues seemed to be the cause at first. Now, veterinarians think the horses had a respiratory illness that caused trouble walking and breathing, and in some cases, pneumonia. This recent outbreak of the equine flu has killed more than a quarter of the wild horses at a holding pen in West Douglas. Governor Jared Polis and state lawmakers unveiled a plan on Monday to provide a $700 million break on property taxes. The governor told the Colorado Sun that the relief will address the concerns of multiple groups that have filed initiatives to lower property taxes. The plan would reduce residential property taxes to 6.77% and commercial property taxes to 27.9%. Waivers would be issued for the first roughly $10,000 in taxable value of a residential property and the first roughly $30,000 in taxable value of a commercial property. The relief would last for 2 years, during which the governor plans to find a longer-term solution to rising property taxes across the state. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.